for the gospel, the church gives us a choice. We can either have the first lines of John, chapter 20, 21 to 9, or the first lines of Luke 24, which is 1 to 12. So I'm going to do a little bit on each of them, because the narrative has to be filled by the experience in your own heart. They came, they saw this, they went away, okay, fine. But to get that, the Holy Spirit has to open up your heart. So we're going to start with this text in John 20, chapter 20, verses 1 to 9. Actually, chapter 20 in John is divided into four parts. There's the discovery of the empty tomb and the two disciples running. Then there's Jesus' manifestation to Mary Magdalene. And then Mary Magdalene goes to the disciples. In the meanwhile, there's two appearances to the disciples, one without Thomas and one with Thomas, and they have different theological accents. Now, what we have for this Easter Sunday is only this very first part with Mary. And what it does trace, as most commentators have noticed, it traces a deepening of faith, coming to meet the risen Christ. But coming to meet the risen Christ is for every believer. Isn't that the whole purpose of this holy year we're having, or this year of evangelization? It is to have an encounter with the living Christ, isn't it? Well, that's what these Gospels are about. Mary's encounter with the living Christ in the first one. Well, and then the real one in the second one. Then the apostles. And then ours. We have to have a friendship with Jesus. We have to have an encounter with the living Christ. And these texts are showing us how this happened to the disciple. And so it goes, on the first day of the week, okay, that's Sunday. Because Shabbat, you see, he died on Friday. He kept the Sabbath, as the Eastern Rite says, Sabbatizin. He kept the Sabbath by lying in the tomb, and then end of that Sabbath, a new Sabbath of life and movement and joy, he rises from the dead. And so, on the first day of the week, Mary the Magdalene came early, while there was still darkness, to the tomb. And she saw the stone taken away from the tomb. That's as far as she got. You have to realize, these tombs are like normally cut into the side of a small hill. They don't have to be, but they often are. And therefore, they're closed by having like a great big millstone. There's a perfect example of a first century tomb like this. It's down in Bethany, in the Franciscan monastery there. And, you know, it's a tomb, it's a stone, comes up to my shoulder a little bit more. It's a great big round stone. And there's a track for it. And they can, after they put the body in the first part, every tomb there has two parts, first part and a back room. They put the body there, leave it there for a year or so until it's totally decomposed. Then they take all the bones, put them in an ossuarium, a bone box, and put it in the back part of the tomb. And so, of course, Jesus' body was in the first part. So she saw the stone taken away. Now, it could have been unrolled, or maybe the angel just took it and threw it on the ground. That's the end of death. We don't know. I'd like to think it's the second. The stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. We don't have time now to go into who is that. It's John, everybody agrees, but how do we get there? And said to them, they took the Lord out of the tomb, Funny remark. If he's the Lord, how can they take him and put him where they want, you know? It's an irony in this little text here. They took the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they laid him. We. Sounded at first like she went with it all alone. Now it sounds like she has company. Then Peter went out and the other disciple, and they started out for the tomb. The two of them were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead more quickly than Peter. He came first to the tomb. Bending down, he saw the strips of cloth lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came as well, following him, and he went into the tomb. And he looked at the strips of cloth lying there, and the cloth which was on his head. Not with the strips of cloth lying there, but apart, rolled up in one place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who came first to the tomb, and he saw and believed. For they did not know the scriptures, that he had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went off again to their homes. What are you going to do? I mean, tomb is empty, the body's gone, here are the claws. What do you do now? Go back home, I guess. But in this little text, there are many lessons for us. This is the first of the four. This is the witness of absence, you see. So they're running along. The other one runs faster than Peter. Maybe he's younger. Maybe he's more zealous. Not really more zealous, but anyway. He bent down and saw the strips of cloth, but he did not go in. Simon Peter, A, because he's more impetuous, and B, because he's the leader, he went in. And they looked at the strips and the cloth lying on his head, not with the strips, but elsewhere. And then the other disciple also went in. In other words, the evidence for the resurrection at this point is the evidence of absence. But it is enough to move. So the other fellow came in, John probably, but they did not know the scriptures that he had to rise from the dead. It's exactly Luke's words, isn't it? Didn't the Messiah have to die and rise? And starting with the scriptures, he explained it. You see, they didn't know the scriptures. The Old Testament already said he had to rise from the dead. In so many words, no. But that's not only that text in Hosea 6:2, but it's the honoring and justification of the just man. He had to rise from the dead. You see? John saw all this and believed. He began to believe. Because right after saying he believed, for they did not yet know. He has a lot more movement of spirit to go in order to grasp this. And so do we, my friends. We just can't go to church on Sunday and go home and say, happy Easter, let's have a sandwich. He's risen from the dead. He's there in your home. He's there in your heart. You have to see in that sense with your spirit and believe. Now the two disciples went home. And then you know the story, which is the second of this... It's Mary's waiting there and so forth. Now, the second choice for Easter Sunday, though, is the account of the resurrection as it is in Luke 24, 1 to 12. At daybreak on the first day of the week, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. This is called in the Eastern Rite the Myrifore, the spice bearers. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Of the Lord Jesus. He's a body. They're looking around for him, but he is the Lord Jesus. While they were still puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has been raised." I must tell you a personal story. I was in the monastery. We got word that my father died And the abbot and I spoke for a while. Then we went into Vespers. We got there, it was the Feast of Mary Magdalene. The first words I heard as I walked into choir were, Noli quare Mariam, because why do you seek the living among the dead? It was sort of like, your father is going to be okay. Okay. He is not here, he's been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man, and now, you see, building on the Lord built on the scriptures, and the angel is recalling those lessons, you see. Remember, he had to be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles. But their story seemed like nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, same as in John, huh? Bent down and saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home amazed at what happened. His spirit couldn't come to that conclusion, but he's amazed. And that's as far as they get. And then our Lord in Luke proves from the scriptures as the two are walking along to Emmaus that he had to suffer and so rise from the dead. This is God's plan. That's why the had to is the had to of God's will, the had to of the Father's plan, you see? And so, now, we have the witness of these people. This is a canonical witness. This is the Word of God that He rose from the dead. But you've got to know it more than that. That's your entrance into it. But one of the graces of Easter, particularly right there in Luke 24, in the next part which we don't read today, one of the signs of the risen Christ's presence and activity is the understanding of Scripture. And then he opened their minds to the understanding of Scripture. First, with the one on the way to Emmaus, you went through Moses, the writings, and the Psalms, the three parts of the Old Testament. Then, here again, he goes through these three parts with his own disciples, showing them that the Messiah had to die and rise again. That's the plan. Jesus had to go through death, atoning for our sins, so that he could rise again and break the bonds of death, so that we have no more fear of death. I'm sure it's scary to die, but we know where we're going. The Father has taken care of us. Jesus is there with us. And so, in either of these two texts that we have for Easter Sunday, it's both the witness of the empty tomb and the beckoning of faith. There's enough there, you see. Everybody thought the ladies were crazy, but Peter, he went out there. He couldn't make much of what he saw, but his spirit is moving. His spirit is moving. On Easter Day, take time to pray. And let the Holy Spirit witness to you that Jesus Christ is alive. Follow. Whatever little hint you get, follow it. So finally, you are really speaking with Jesus, risen from the dead, there, present with you, in your bedroom, in your living room, wherever you're praying. You know, He's risen from the dead. We have no more to fear. Our Lord is risen from the dead. Now He can guide us, feed us, protect us, be the head of the church, and through Him let all divine life flow into the church and through the church to the world. Christ is risen. Amen.